Amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Revelation 4 and verse 11. And we, and while you find that, I'd also like you to find, this one's really easy, the first page of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. So the last book of the Bible, Revelation 4:11, and the last book of the Bible, first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. This morning I'll be preaching a message entitled, Why Do You Exist? Why do you exist? Revelation 4 and verse 11 reads, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Let's read that verse one more time. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. These past 2 weeks, we've focused our attention on the creating of all things. God created all things by the word of His mouth. But this morning's focus is, why did God create it all? And specifically, why did He create you? We have been thinking this month about how big God's creation is. Astronomers tell us, they estimate there are 10,000 billion stars. Have you ever thought of how big God's creation is? Have you ever considered how beautiful God's creation is? How can we help it living here in Vancouver, one of the most beautiful places in the world? Have you ever considered how perfect in design God's creation is? We've spoken this month about the wonder of the cell and its DNA. Have you ever considered this morning how perfect in obedience God's natural laws are? I'm glad gravity works the same today as it did yesterday. Aren't you glad your feet are on the ground? Revelation 4 and verse 11 explains why you exist. This verse reads, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. It tells us that we were created for the pleasure of God. When I looked up this word pleasure in the Bible, I discovered that the same Greek word behind the word pleasure is translated many other times in the New Testament as the word will, the will of God. We were created for the pleasure of God. We were created to do His will. We were created to do what He wants us to do. Of all that God has created, I truly believe that God's greatest pleasure is you. God's greatest pleasure isn't the mountains. God's greatest pleasure isn't the trees. God's greatest pleasure isn't the untouched wilderness out there in northern Canada. That's not God's greatest pleasure. God's greatest pleasure is you. God's greatest pleasure isn't the dogs or the cats or the cows. God's greatest pleasure is you. Why do I believe that? Well, I believe that's what the Bible teaches. I believe that God created you for relationship. The Bible tells us that we were created in the image of God. And I believe our greatest pleasure in life isn't the things that we have, but rather the relationships we share. Think about it for a minute. We had prime rib the other night at at men's retreat. It was good food. But you know, the thing I enjoyed most about the meal were the men that I was eating the meal with. You ever gone to a restaurant with your family or with some other people and you saw someone sitting by themselves eating a meal? It's not a happy picture. You know, sometimes we have to do that. Maybe we're traveling, or maybe we do live alone and we spend a lot of time alone. But I truly believe our greatest pleasure as human beings are the relationships we share. You know, what would a beautiful house be if your wife and children left you? Wouldn't be very beautiful, would it? You know, what fun is it going to an entertainment event like maybe a Vancouver Canucks hockey game? How many people go to that hockey game by themselves? Probably very few. Although the hockey game provides enjoyment, the greatest pleasure in life are our relationships. In Genesis chapter 1, turn there in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, we read this verse that talks about that God created us in His image. And by looking at Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and chapter 3, we will understand that God created you for relationship. He didn't create the angels for relationship. He didn't create dogs and cats and animals for relationship. God didn't create trees and the stars and the moon and the sun. He didn't create them for relationship. He created you for relationship. Genesis 1:26 says, "And God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.' So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." We see a distinction in this verse between mankind and the animal kingdom. God created us in His image, and God created us and advanced us above the animal kingdom and gave us dominion over the animal kingdom. I believe this morning that out of all of God's creation, He has only created us for relationship. He created you with the greatest capacity for relationship. You were created with a mind to know God. God has given you a mind to know God. God has given the human beings creative abilities. Now, we do not have the ability to create out of nothing like God did, but we have an imagination and we have creative abilities. You know, the honeybee is a very remarkable insect, but yet it only does what a honeybee was created to do. Human beings, there's no limit to what human beings can do. As far as, you know, every day something changes. Every day there's a new invention. Every day there's variety. It's because God gave to mankind a mind. And the primary purpose to have that mind is to know God. Not only that, God created you with emotions to love God. You have the ability to love, to hate, to be happy, to be sad. God gave you those emotions. Can you imagine a relationship with someone that has no emotions? Oh, your dress is beautiful. Thank you. Oh, I love you so much. Thank you. No, God gave us the ability to have relationship. God gave us emotions. God didn't give the rocks and the trees emotions, but He gave us emotions so that we can have relationship. God created us with a will to choose God. We are not robots. We have a free will that God has given to us. You know, we've passed out 3,000 invitations to come hear this sermon this morning. And only a few of us have chosen to come. But that is God's plan. If God wanted, He could make everybody come here this morning. But God has given everyone a free choice, a free will. God has given us a free will. He created you with the greatest capacity for relationship. Secondly, He created you for a relationship of the greatest length. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 tells us, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." God created you as an eternal soul. You are not disposable. He didn't create you for momentary gratification, but He created you for eternal relationship. Not only did He create you for a relationship of the greatest length, He created you for a great position. God has given you the dominion over His earth. Now, God has established governments. God has established the family. God has established different institutions of order for this universe and for this planet. But as a people, human beings have the dominion of this planet. We have the dominion of all that God created. He has given us a great position. For Adam and Eve, God put them in a great place. God put them in a beautiful garden called the Garden of Eden. A perfect environment. And He gave them a great purpose. And I believe God has a great place for every human being and a great purpose for every human being. What was Adam's purpose? Well, he was to dress and to keep this beautiful garden. And he had the privilege of naming all of the animals that God created. I see in that first assignment that God gave to man, God's desire to allow mankind to use their imagination and their creative abilities. It says there in Genesis chapter 2 and 19 that God brought the animals to Adam and Eve to see what Adam would call them. He didn't tell them what to call them. He left that up to Adam. And God has a great place for you and a great purpose for your life. God didn't create you to be a robot. He created you with a great purpose. And He created you to enjoy the greatest pleasures. In that Garden of Eden, God gave to Adam and Eve the pleasures of sight. Aren't you glad God didn't create a black and white world? Aren't you glad when you looked out of your window this morning, it wasn't gray again? Aren't you glad it was blue? Aren't you glad when you go to the flower store, you can have pink ones, red ones, orange ones, and sometimes they can even paint them different colors? Aren't you glad God gave us the pleasures of sight? God gave us the pleasures of the stomach. The Bible says that God gave them all of the trees and all of the vegetables of the garden to enjoy. Now, I would have liked to try one of those strawberries in the Garden of Eden. It was a perfect strawberry. But God gave them the pleasures of the stomach. I had the pleasures of that prime rib. That's coming up a lot this morning because it just wasn't roast beef. It was prime roast beef. It was good. But God gave us pleasures of the stomach. And when you read Genesis chapter 2, verses 20 to 25, you read about the first marriage. Marriage is an institution created by God. And God gave to Adam and Eve the pleasures of relationship. That is the first and primary relationship of mankind. And then there are many other relationships He allows us to enjoy as well. God created you for relationship. You were made with the capacity for relationship. But this relationship with Him has to be chosen. God wants you to choose relationship with Him. Look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." God gave them hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of beautiful trees to eat fruit from. But God kept one tree and said, "You can't eat the fruit from that tree." A lot of people have asked me, why did God do that? I really believe the answer is simple. God wants you to choose to love Him. Yeah, I don't get a whole lot of relational satisfaction from my computer. You know, when I came home yesterday, my computer didn't jump up and run over to the door and hug me. But my wife did and my children did. They had to make a choice to do that. Now, I'm sure there's the technology available. If you had the money, you could program some robot thing to sense you coming into your home and it could run over and hug you. But the fact is, you'd have to program it to do that. Relationship without choice is no relationship at all. Can you imagine when I met Lisa in 1988, if after I spotted her and I saw her beauty and I saw her personality, I said to myself, "I want her. And she is going to be my wife." And I began stalking her at the college. When she turned around and said, "You are going to be my wife." Can you imagine that kind of relationship? It wouldn't work. She'd be calling the police. She'd be running for her dad. Because relationship without choice is no relationship. And God gave human beings a choice. He wants you to choose a relationship with Him. So He said, "You can't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you do eat it, you're going to die." Now the Bible speaks of three deaths. The Bible speaks of spiritual death, when man and God are separated. The Bible speaks of physical death, when the spirit, when the person that is you inside of your body leaves the body. That's physical death. That's most often what we think of when we think of death. It's what we visualize the most. So there's separation from God. There's separation of the soul from the body. That's physical death. But the Bible also speaks of eternal death. Eternal death is called a lake of fire. It's called hell. And the Bible says that if we live our life separated from God and die separated from God, we'll spend eternity separated from God. You are not disposable. God did not create you where you'll be extinct one day. You will live forever. You'll either live forever with God or you'll live forever separated from God. The Bible teaches that. So a relationship must be tested by the individual's will. But secondly, relationship must be tested by an individual's loyalty. In Genesis chapter 3, God's enemy, Satan, the fallen angel, the angel that wanted to usurp God, to go above God, that angel, that fallen angel disguised himself as a serpent. He climbed up or he slithered up into that tree and he began to tell lies about God. He deceived Adam and Eve. But that is one of the greatest tests of a relationship, when you stand loyal to that person you love. And I believe every relationship, if it's going to stand the test of time, has to pass the test of loyalty. on that day. In Genesis chapter 3, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Satan lied about God. I read this quote not too long ago from A.W. Tozer. I believe it's one of the greatest quotes I've read in recent days. It's excellent. Listen carefully. It explains what happened here in Genesis chapter 3. Human sin began with a loss of faith in God. When our mother Eve listened to Satan's sly innuendos against the character of God, she began to entertain a doubt of his integrity, and right there the doors were opened to the incoming of every possible evil, and darkness settled upon the world. Relationship between moral beings is by confidence, and confidence rests upon character, which is a guarantee of conduct. I hope, girls, when it's time for you to consider marriage, that you make your choice about marriage based on character. I hope you don't base it on how cool the guy is. I hope you don't base it on how well he dresses or how handsome he is. I hope you base your choice based on character. Because if you're going to have a lasting relationship, that relationship has to be based upon character, which is a guarantee of conduct. God is a being of supreme moral excellence, possessing in infinite perfection all the qualities that constitute holy character. He deserves and he invites the unreserved confidence of every moral creature, including man. Any proper relation to him must be by confidence. That is faith. And that's what Satan was doing in that tree. He was undermining the character of God. He was casting doubt on the character of God. He was calling God a liar. Idolatry is the supreme sin, and unbelief is the child of idolatry. Both are libels on the Most High and Most Holy. What is a libel? Well, a libel is a false or damaging statement against a person. When someone worships an idol, they are admitting that the Creator isn't who He says He was. When someone doesn't believe God, they are saying, I can't trust you, God. In the Gospel of John, the Bible says, He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. We've preached for 2 weeks on creation or evolution. And really the question is, are you going to believe the character of God? Are you going to believe His written revelation to man? Or are you going to doubt His character and trust rather in the opinion of some scientist who lies, cheats, and probably does other things wrong as well? Who are you going to trust? And there we see Satan undermining the character of God in the garden. And Adam and Eve, they took of that fruit and they ate that fruit and they died. You say, they didn't drop over dead. God said that in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. We notice in this passage that as soon as they ate that fruit, they were ashamed of their nakedness. And they went and they hid themselves from the presence of God. They died spiritually that day when they disobeyed God. When they listened to God's enemy. When they doubted the character of God. And they ate of that fruit. They died. They died. But you know, there's great hope in Christianity. There's great hope in the Word of God. Because even after Adam and Eve listened to Satan, disobeyed God, we see God coming and looking for him and looking for Eve. And this morning, God is looking for you. The Bible is a living history of God's pursuit of human beings. God was crying out in the garden, Adam and Eve, where art thou? And this morning, God is crying out to human beings, where art thou? The central theme of the Bible is God's love and His plan to pay man's sin debt, giving mankind the opportunity to have a relationship with Him. This morning, do you have a personal relationship with the Creator of the universe? The God of the Bible. This morning, more than anything, the Creator of the universe wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with you. This morning, relationship with God starts with salvation. Relationship with God starts with salvation. Do you want a relationship with God? It starts with salvation. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:15 that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why Jesus came into the world. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, the Bible tells us that Jesus gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. You know, we read that word earlier. We were created for His pleasure. We were created for His will. Well, it is God's will that every human being have their sins forgiven through the payment that Christ made on the cross. That's God's will for you. That's God's desire for you. That's God's pleasure this morning. That if you're here and you've never had your sins forgiven, that you today could have your sins forgiven. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, this morning we're preaching about why you exist. Next week we're going to be preaching about the death of Christ. That's what Good Friday stands for. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And then the next week it's going to be Easter Sunday. And we're going to preach about the first Easter Sunday. Then the next week we're going to preach about that again. The greatest event in history. It's a great event when you go to a grave 3 days after the funeral and find it empty. When it was guarded by soldiers. What a great event. It says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Salvation. Relationship with God starts with salvation. What a wonderful gift salvation is. Listen to this story. It's called No Jacket Required. I shook my head in disbelief. This couldn't be the right place. After all, I couldn't possibly be welcome here. I had been given an invitation several times by several different people and had finally decided to see what this place was all about. But this couldn't be the right place. Quickly, I glanced down at the invitation that I clutched in my hand. I scanned past the words, "Come as you are, no jacket required," and found the location. Yes, I was at the right place. I peered through the window again and saw a room of people whose faces seemed to glow with joy. All were neatly dressed, adorned in fine garments, and appeared strangely clean as they dined at this exquisite restaurant. Ashamed, I looked down at my own tattered and torn clothing, covered in stains. I was dirty, in fact, filthy. A foul smell seemed to consume me, and I couldn't shake the grime that clung to my body. As I turned around to leave, the words from the invitation seemed to leap out at me, "Come as you are, no jacket required." I decided to give it a shot. Mustering up every bit of courage I could find, I opened the door to find this restaurant and walked up to a man standing behind a podium. "Your name, sir?" he asked me with a smile. Jimmy D. Brown, I mumbled without looking up. I thrust my hands deep into my pockets, hoping to conceal their stains. He didn't seem to notice the filth that I was covered in, and he continued, "Very good, sir. A table is reserved in your name. Would you like to be seated?" I couldn't believe what I heard. A grin broke out on my face, and I said, "Yes, of course." He led me to a table, and sure enough, there was a placard with my name written on it in deep, dark red. Jimmy D. Brown. As I browsed over a menu, I saw many delightful items listed. There were things like love, peace, joy, blessings, confidence, assurance, hope, love, faith, and mercy. I realized that this wasn't any ordinary restaurant. I flipped the menu back to the front in order to see where I was at. God's grace was the name of this place. The man returned and said, I recommend the special of the day. With it, you are entitled to heaping portions of everything on this menu." You've got to be kidding, I thought to myself. You mean I can have all of this? What is the special of the day, I asked, excitement ringing in my voice. "The special of the day is salvation." "I'll take it," I practically cried out. Then as quickly as I made that statement, the joy left my body. A sick, painful ache jerked through my stomach and tears filled my eyes. Between my sobs, I said, "Mister, look at me. I'm dirty and nasty. I'm unclean and unworthy of such thing. I'd love to have all of this, but I just can't afford it." Turning, I saw a man whose very presence seemed to light the room. He was almost too much to look at. I found myself walking towards him. No. Undaunted, the man smiled again. "Sir, your check has already been taken care of by that gentleman over there," he said, pointing to the front of the room. "His name is Jesus." Turning, I saw a man whose very presence seemed to light the room. He was almost too much to look at. I find myself walking towards him, and in a shaking voice I whispered, "Sir, I'll wash the dishes or I'll sweep the floors. I'll take out the trash. I'll do anything I can to repay you for all of this. He opened his arms and said with a smile, Son, all of this is yours if you just come unto me. Ask me to clean you up and I will. Ask me to take away the stains and it is done. Ask me to allow you to feast at my table and you will eat. Remember, the table is reserved in your name. And all you must do is accept this gift that I offer you. Relationship with God starts with salvation. Your name is reserved. Your sin debt has been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Salvation is a gift. And this morning, if you do not possess the gift of salvation, you do not have a relationship with God. But all you have to do is receive that gift by faith. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Relationship with God starts with salvation. Why do you exist? You exist for relationship with God. And that relationship starts with salvation. And when you get saved, all of your sins are washed away. You're given a home in heaven. You're given a new name. You're given new life. The Bible calls it being born again. Regeneration. A wonderful miracle will happen in your heart the moment you accept Christ as your Savior. When you're saved, the Bible says you become a new creature. But this relationship continues with submission. Why did God create you? He created you for relationship. It starts with salvation, but it continues with submission. You say, what are you speaking about? Well, if you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter number 12 and verse 46. Jesus has many people in this passage of Scripture gathered around Him. He is speaking to them about the Word of God, the things of God. And His mother, Mary, and His natural brothers and sisters, they are gathered around and they are asking for permission to have some time with Jesus, to speak to Jesus. Look what it says in Matthew 12 and verse 46. And while He yet talked to the people, behold, His mother and His brethren stood without, desiring to speak with Him. Then one said unto Him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But He answered and said unto him that told Him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And He stretched forth His hand towards His disciples, and said, behold my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. His natural mother wanted to talk to Him. And Jesus loved His mother. But Jesus is illustrating a truth to the crowd He was talking to. He said, those who are closest to Me are those who will do the will of my Father. You know, we started this message with the word, you were created for His pleasure. You were created for His will. Well, Jesus says here in verse 50, if we want to be close to Him, we have to do His will. If we want to be His brother, sister, or mother, if we want to be in a close relationship with God, our relationship starts with salvation, but it continues with submission. It's possible to be saved, to have your sins forgiven, to be on your way to heaven, but not to be that close to Jesus Christ. Closeness to Jesus Christ as a Christian comes through a surrendered life, a submitted life. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 14, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." To continue in a close relationship with God, it starts with salvation, but it continues by submission. This is also called the Lordship of Christ. Jesus is Lord. And if we are going, but as Christians, we have to submit to that Lordship. Salvation's a free gift, but Lordship requires our choice to submit to Him as Lord. My daughter takes piano lessons, and now she's taking guitar lessons. Adrienne is doing really good, and Aaron takes violin lessons. But I'm thinking about the guitar teacher right now. He's been playing classical guitar for years. Adriana has just started 2 years ago learning classical guitar. If she wants to become a good classical guitar player, she has to submit to the teaching and instruction of this teacher. He has been farther down the path. He knows more about the instrument. He can play it very, very well. And if she is going to grow as a guitarist, she has to submit to his leadership. And as Christians, the Bible says when you believe in Christ, you are a newborn baby in Christ. But if you are going to continue to grow as a Christian, you have to submit to the leadership, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And as we stay close to the Lord, we stay very close in relationship to the Lord. He wants everyone to follow His instructions. He wants everyone to follow His commands. Because you know what? He is the Creator of the universe. He knows what's best for you. He knows the best path to take. He knows what choices you need to make. And He urges you, follow me, follow me, follow me. But even after you're saved, He never forces you. He never forces you. Follow if you want. I urge you to follow, but He never forces you. Have you submitted to the Lordship of Christ? Our relationship with God starts with salvation, but it continues by submission. What is the result of a relationship with God? The result is satisfaction. It starts with salvation, it continues with submission, and it results in satisfaction. When I think about God creating us for relationship, I think of some of the other things that God created, like a cactus. Cactus or cacti, they were created for dry, arid climates, usually where it's hot. If we remove that created piece of foliage or vegetation, we removed it from its created place and we took it to the Northwest Territories and we planted it in July. I believe it might last for a few weeks, but when those cold winter winds of Northwest Territories start blowing on that cactus, it's going to become very uncomfortable. And it's going to wither and it's going to die. And the next spring, it'll just be waste on the ground. You know, I think of God's like a fish. Fish were created to swim in water. They weren't created to breathe air from the atmosphere. They were created to pull their oxygen out of the water. If you take a fish, remove it from its created place, and put it on this floor, it would exist for a little while, flopping around miserably, until it suffocated, until it died. God has a specific created purpose for every part of His creation. And it's impossible for a human being to be truly satisfied unless they have a relationship with the Creator. That's why you were created, to have a relationship with God. If you've lived your life away from God, you're kind of like that fish flopping on the floor. Oh, I'll try for happiness over here. No, that doesn't work. I'll try for happiness over here. No, that doesn't work. You'll never be happy until you have a relationship with God. But when you have a relationship with God, you will truly be satisfied. God will rescue you from sin and its destructive power. The Bible says that sin holds us like, it wraps us up like cords. Or like a rope would wrap us up. The Bible says that sin is a hard thing. The psalmist wrote that when God saved him, God took him out of a horrible pit and set his feet on a rock. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that God has made us new creatures in Christ. What a satisfying event happens the moment you trust Christ as your Savior. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God." You know, before I was saved, I lived my life for the lusts of men. I lived my life to satisfy the flesh. But now I'm saved. God's done a miracle. God's freed me from sin's destructive power. And then the rest of this reads, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles." In other words, I lived long enough in the world. I only had to live in the world for 12 years before Jesus saved me. My dad was saved when he was 40 years old. Let me read that verse again. Just think about it. "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles." So for 12 years, I walked according to this flesh, according to the course of this world, but praise the Lord, I got saved. Back then, we walked in lasciviousness and lusts and excess of wine, revelings and banquetings and abominable idolatries. That used to be my life without God. But when God saved me, He freed me from that life. He saved me from that life. I was in the in crowd in grade 7. Me and my little buddies, we went to the movies together, we played football together, we swore together, we talked about girls together. I just praise God it was grade 7. But I got rescued off of that path. They kept going down that path. And high school brought more than football and movies. It brought booze and probably drugs for some of them. It brought immorality. It brought all sorts of mess to their life. I'm glad I got off that path when I was 12. My dad, he was farther down the path. He was 40 when he got off that path. But praise God, I lived long enough that way. God saved me off that path. You know, and when you get saved, I love this verse, verse 4. When you get saved, you used to be walking down this path of destruction with everybody else. When you get off of it, you start living a different way and people start looking at you. Go, they say, "Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." You know, last year on New Year's, you were with them. You were drunk. You were thrown up. But this New Year's, you said, "I'm not drinking this New Year's, and I'm not going to that party." You're not. What happened to you? You're weird. No, God saved me. God rescued me off that path. And this morning, no matter what path you're on, maybe you're worshiping an idol. You're worshiping something that God made with that man made with his hands, and you're worshiping that idol, but you don't worship that idol anymore. Because God saved you. When God saves you, He frees you from the powers of sin. Salvation and submission result in freedom from sin. Salvation and submission result in freedom to experience God's abundant life. Jesus said of the devil, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." That's what the devil wants to do to every human being. But Jesus said, "I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly." You know, Pastor Martin's, he was talking about his wife and his children and serving the Lord for 49 years as a married couple, or 45 years as a married couple. And he said, "I'm the richest man in the world." But it wasn't like 24 hours before that, I thought to myself, "I'm the richest man in the world." You see, when you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter who you are, you're the richest man in the world. Because His blessings are abundant. His goodness is unmeasurable. You know, we've talked about the vastness of space and the intricacy of the cell. And yet God's goodness is just as big and just as intricate and just as wonderful. Relationship with God starts with salvation. It continues with submission. It results in satisfaction. It's abundant life. The sermon's getting a little bit long, and time would not allow me to tell you of all of God's goodness. But if you want in, your place has already been paid for. Salvation is free, and all you've got to do is receive it. After you receive it, just follow the Lord. Just follow the Lord, and satisfaction will be the result. No fish is happy out of water. And no human is happy walking their own path away from God. What will your choice be this morning? Relationship with God begins with salvation. But your place at the banquet is reserved in the blood of Christ. All you have to do is accept the gift. Relationship continues with submission. The friends of Christ are those who submit to Him and His Word. Are you submitted to His Lordship, Christian? Is He the boss of your life? Relationship with God results in heaping portions of all that is on God's menu. Heaping portions. Satisfaction. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. As the pianist comes to the piano, this morning we're going to have an invitation. The invitation is for Christians. The invitation is for those that would like to become Christians, that would like to accept God's wonderful gift of salvation. This morning, if you'd like to be saved, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Jesus died to pay for your sins. Jesus was buried and Jesus rose again. And He wants to give you salvation. All you have to do is receive it. If you'd like to receive that gift of salvation today, I'd like to pray for you. I won't point you out. I won't embarrass you. But if you would just slip up your hand, I could pray for you. You would like to receive that gift of salvation today. Is there anyone like that? Just slip up your hand. Anyone at all. Anyone at all. You'd like to receive the gift of salvation. Maybe you're here today and you're Christian. You've accepted God's gift of salvation, but you've never submitted to His Lordship. You've never said, "God, You're my boss. I'm going to follow Your instructions. Whatever You say, I'm going to obey." Have you ever submitted to His Lordship? Maybe God's speaking to your heart about that today. You're saved, but you've never said, "Here, Lord, here's my life. I submit to You." Is there anyone like that today? Amen. I see that hand. Is there any other hands this morning? Anybody else that would like to say, "Lord, You're going to be my boss. I'm going to follow Your direction. I'm going to be the guitar student and you're going to be the guitar teacher, and I'm going to do what you say. Is there any Christian that would like to make that decision today? You're the boss, Lord. Amen. I see that hand. Is there any other one that would like to make that? Maybe you've already made that decision. Maybe you're in that satisfaction zone. You're just thankful that God has saved you, and you're thankful that He guides your life, and you want to follow Him. Maybe today you just want to thank God. God, thanks for abundant life.